Hey everyone, welcome to the Three Graves Crime Drama Podcast. My name is Holly Yerbergs, and I am the writer and producer. You can find the original music from The Cuckoos on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Music. Give us a follow at threegraves.com.
Word had spread through the office that I would be interviewing a notorious serial killer. A small crowd had gathered around my cubicle to watch. Davis appeared with a microwave popcorn bag and gave me a thumbs up as I opened Skype to initiate the video call with Rhodes. I tried to keep my expression neutral as his pale face appeared on the screen. His right eye barely opened, ruined by frequent beatings from other inmates in prison.
Dad, can you hear me?
Yes. Thanks for agreeing to talk with me.
Well, no harm in that, I guess. Not too often I get to talk to a pretty lady.
You brought your truck into Charlie Burton's auto shop in the late 80s.
I can tell you did your research. That's right. I always stopped at Charco Pit when I drove through Texas. That's where I first met Charlie.
You bought drugs from him?
A little Mary Jane from time to time. I guess nobody cares about that nowadays.
Did you ever meet his son Jesse or Casey Crowley?
You got any pictures?
Yes. These are from their high school yearbook.
Oh, yeah, I remember her. She was Jesse's girlfriend, followed him around like a puppy. Pretty little thing.
Someone murdered her in 1988.
Charlie's still living in Marble Falls?
He's in the Oklahoma State Prison for raping a teenage girl.
I guess we both turned out to be bad boys.
Two of Casey's friends disappeared later that year. Take a look at their photos.
Ha ha! Woo, you bringing me back some good memories for me. Ooh, what were their names again?
Rachel and Sophia.
Oh, yeah. Sophia, that's right. Woo, she's a wild one. She jumped right into my truck and wanted to ride to Dallas. How could I say no to that?
When?
I remember we were on the road and that crazy song came on. Don't worry, be happy. Ooh, she was going to the Red River Shootout.
That would have been October. Did you kill her?
Sorry to disappoint you, honey. She was a sweet little lay. That's all. My guess is Burton's covering up for his son. We've all got our secrets.
I entered the charcoal pit cafe and waited in line for a table. The wall near the hostess stand was covered in snapshots of happy families enjoying a meal or a piece of pie. President Bush and his lovely wife, Laura, had autographed their picture. The smiling faces of Casey and her parents, Mike and Melanie, stared out from another photo. The perfect American family, shattered by brutal murder. I took a seat in a booth and ordered a coconut cream pie. I was eating my last bite when a waitress approached my table.
I'm going to leave this right here. No rush. Pay me when you're ready.
Is Mike Crowley in today?
He's back in the kitchen.
Could you have him stop by?
Oh, sure, hon. He loves meeting customers. All done with your plate?
Yes, thanks.
How was everything?
Delicious. Mr. Crowley, I'm a reporter from the Austin American Statesman. I've been looking into your daughter's murder case.
I told the sheriff everything I know years ago.
Please, sit down. This is my business card.
What's going on?
Rachel Kersey's sister, Evelyn Bell, contacted me. She wants the cold case reopened.
I see.
I wanted to talk to you about Casey's boyfriend, Jesse.
No. Maybe dads are the last one to know, but I never met him until the funeral. Melanie was upset because the kids were smoking weed. Casey kept the relationship secret.
Why do you think?
Who knows? Teenagers. Maybe she knew we would disapprove. Melanie wanted her to date a nice boy from the church. Jesse was a bit of a bad boy.
Anything else you can remember?
Casey had always been a happy girl, but something changed the month before she disappeared. She turned hateful and moody. Hardly ever came out of her room. Her and Melanie were fighting like cats and dogs.
You think it was the drugs?
All I know is that Casey got mixed up with some bad people. If I had been paying attention, maybe I could have saved her.
If he'd be willing to call Sheriff Collins, it might make a difference.
You got it. Anything for the girls. Keep me posted if you learn anything.
I drove straight to the sheriff's office from the Charcoal Pit Cafe. The receptionist left me waiting in a row of black visitor chairs, a long line of framed pictures of the previous sheriffs, all wearing the same white cowboy hat, hung on the wall above me. Sheriff Collins emerged from his office, and I pounced. Sheriff Collins, I just need a minute.
Miss Cooper.
Burton was friends with the truck stop killer. I talked to Sheriff Burris, and...
Lee told you that?
No, I searched Burton's old house. Please, take a look at this photo. Rachel Kersey was there.
All right, come with me. Detective Pera, Mrs. Cooper is a reporter from the Statesman. She has some information for you.
Why the sudden emergency?
Charlie Burton was convicted of raping a teenage girl in Oklahoma City. He was friends with a truck stop killer. He also served time in the 80s for selling drugs for the Mexican cartel, and his son was dating the first victim, Casey.
Whoa, slow down. I'm not familiar with this case.
I understand, but all the evidence points towards Burton's family. I'm driving up to McAllister to interview him.
You like playing detective, Mrs. Cooper? Tripping up law enforcement when they make mistakes?
That's not why I'm here. I grew up in Marble Falls. It could have been me. These girls' families deserve some answers. Read the file, Detective Parr, please. I woke up early the next morning for the drive to the McAllister State Prison. I selected a John Grisham audiobook, The Reckoning, to pass the time. 6 hours later, the prison came into view. It sat next to Highway 69, where a tall guard tower loomed over the alabaster walls, surrounded by a double razor wire fence. A darkly comical road sign announced, "Hitchhikers may be escaping inmates." I slowed my Honda Civic at the entrance, framed by a black arched metal banner. I stepped out of my car, took a deep breath, and entered the security screening area.
Ma'am, you can't take electronics inside the visitation room. I'll hold it for you here. You can pick it up on your way out.
Okay. A corrections officer escorted me to the family visitation room. A half dozen families, some happy, others sad and weary-looking, crowded tables in the noisy room. I scanned the room for Burton, and his eyes met mine. He was sitting alone, and a manic Charles Manson vibe wafted off of him. Colorful tattoos covered both of his arms, a sharp contrast to his unruly mop of graying red hair and an untrimmed beard. Mr. Burton, I was contacted by a woman named Evelyn Bell. Her sister Rachel is one of the missing girls from Marble Falls.
What's your name, honey?
Samantha Cooper. I'm a reporter with the Austin American Statesman.
You don't remember me, do you, Sammy? I knew your brother Tommy. Helped him fix up an old motorcycle. He's still playing in that crazy rock band.
I haven't seen Tommy in over 10 years.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Your family never gave a shit about him.
Your son, Jesse, was dating Casey at the time of her death. Did you or someone you know abduct and murder her?
You don't beat around the bush, do you? Next time you visit, bring me some snacks. Food in here ain't fit for a dog.
I know you were friends with Robert Ben Rhodes. You sold pot to him. What else did you do together?
Well, you're a pretty little Nancy Drew, aren't you?
Did the Mexican cartel threaten your family after you testified against them?
Trust me. Those Mexican fuckers are more afraid of me. When you see Tommy, tell him I said hello.
I understand you're up for parole in 1 month. Hey, have you helped with the investigation?
What have you got? Some contaminated DNA from 1988. You think that scares me? I've been fucked over so many times by people in power. My dick doesn't even get hard anymore.
This is your chance to tell your story. I'll print it word for word, your truth. Help Evelyn bring her sister home. Give her some peace.
You have no idea what you've gotten yourself into. I got nothing else to say to you.
As I drove back to Austin, I tried to shake off the memory of Burton's leer and his bizarre claim of knowing my brother. But some part of my brain kept tugging at a memory. The smell of motor oil and a long-haired hippie wearing grease-covered jeans. Was I remembering Burton? My brain switched to Casey's murder case. I had written a political profile piece about Regina James, the manager of the state-of-the-art DNA lab that had opened in Austin. 3 months ago, I dialed Detective Parra with an idea. Call Daniel Parra.
Calling Daniel Parra. Mobile.
How did you get this number?
I'm an investigative reporter, remember? I've got an offer for you. Regina James is the manager of the new DNA lab in Austin. She has a research grant to evaluate many STR for degraded DNA samples.
What's that got to do with me?
You could retest Casey Crowley's rape kit for free. I know you're on a shoestring budget.
Fine. You can pick it up on Monday. Don't call this number again.
I woke up late the next day after the exhausting drive to Austin. Will slept next to me, peaceful but snoring. I poured myself a bowl of Cheerios, sat down on my computer, and opened the Ticketmaster website. Will entered the kitchen looking disheveled and hungover. You want to see Blue October with me tonight?
No, I've got an interview at 4:30.
That's great.
We'll see. The show's in Houston?
Yeah. My brother's band is opening for them.
Tommy? When's the last time you saw him?
Mom's funeral. Memories of my childhood with Tommy flooded my brain as I drove south to his house in Pasadena, Texas. I remembered my dad's Chrysler minivan parked next to Tommy's drum kit in the garage. I played with my Barbies while he practiced drums. One day, he pulled me onto his lap, put the drumsticks into my hands, and gave me my first drum lesson. It was a moment of pure joy, and I adored my brother from then on. Tommy lived in the Shady Grove RV park. Two folding chairs sat on a concrete slab in front of his silver Airstream trailer.
Sammy, what are you doing here?
Heard Vertigo is opening for Blue October tonight.
Hell yeah, how long's this been? Get your skinny ass over here.
This is nice. You always keep drums in here?
You gotta keep practicing. Blue October needed a drummer too. Justin's brother broke his arm.
Oh no. Play something for me.
Right now?
Sure, I want to hear Amped Up.
You listen to my music?
I have every album. Amazing. I can't wait for the show. Listen, Tommy, I'm working on a story for The Statesman. You remember Casey Crowley?
Yeah, we were in high school together.
Her murder case has been reopened.
Why not?
Rachel Kersey's sister asked us for help. I have something for you.
A Black Sabbath t-shirt? Where'd you get this?
From the motorcycle in Burton's garage. Casey's mom thinks Jesse killed her.
No fucking way.
Take a look at this picture. We found it in Burton's bedroom. Tommy, he's in prison for raping a teenage girl.
Rachel's foster parents were total psychos. She came over to Jesse's house to get away from them.
I didn't know you were friends with Jesse.
I took that picture of Rachel. Casey got a Polaroid instant camera for his 16th birthday.
Did you know Burton was selling drugs out of his auto shop?
No. I had no idea.
Jesse and Casey were selling drugs for him.
I can't talk about this right now. I've got to go ready for the show.
Look, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to dredge up the past. I thought maybe you could help. Let me take you to dinner after the show.
I'll see you tonight.
The Miller Outdoor Theater was a gorgeous venue with a green manicured lawn surrounded by thick woods. The lights and speakers hung from its triangular wooden roof. I weaved my way through a sea of tattooed Blue October fans to the front row. Vertigo stepped on stage, and the handsome lead singer began to sing a cappella. The song switched over to the entire band. I tried to make eye contact with Tommy, but he closed his eyes and focused on the rhythm of the song. I woke up the next morning in the middle of a nightmare. Tom and I were riding on his motorcycle, and suddenly we rode off a cliff. We were falling fast. I felt Will's hand stroking my face.
Hey. Hey. That was Tommy's show.
Amazing. Dad called me while I was on the road. He wants us to come for Easter.
Drew and Sherry gonna be there?
Yeah. How'd your job interview go?
It wasn't a good fit. I know you're worried about money.
We didn't get by on my salary for a while. I want you to be happy.
I could consult for Magic Leap. They need coders for their new virtual reality hardware.
Sounds cool.
It's $2,000 for the system, but I could get in on the ground floor as a game developer.
Here in Austin?
I could work from home.
Does this mean you're going to cook dinner for me every night?
Do you really want me to cook?
No. But I would love a kolache for breakfast.
Sam, I know I've been going through a rough time. Allie and I didn't have an affair. She was a friend. We've been fighting so much.
You don't have to apologize. I have something I need to tell you.